Please take your Bible this evening and open to the book of Romans, chapter number 2. Last week we started this chapter. I think we got through about verse 16. So tonight we're going to start at verse 17. We'll probably get through the end of the chapter this evening. The first chapter of Romans showed us the depravity of man and how man, when man gets away from God, his life just goes downhill. And that's why man needs a Savior. Man needs the Redeemer to save him and transform him and make him the man that God originally intended for him to be. In chapter 2, we're seeing here a little bit about God's judgment, his principles of judgment, how that they are equitable and fair. In verses 1 through 5, judgment is according to God's truth, not man's opinion. I don't know if you've ever caught on to this or not, but God isn't all that interested in our opinion. He has a plan, and he is working that plan, and I've never one time had him ask me for advice. I'm guessing you probably never have either. My opinion really doesn't seem to matter a whole lot. God doesn't line himself up with us. We're supposed to line ourselves up with him, right? And so that's why he's given us his word and the Spirit of God to help us in that. So the second thing we saw, verses 6 to 16, judgment is according to a man's deeds, not his status. Judgment is according to man's deeds, not according to his status. If you'd notice with me, I want to read a few verses, and then I want to pick it up where we left off last week. Because we left off talking about judgment day. And notice here, if you would, verse number 12, I'll start there. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. And then verse 16 says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. You notice according to verse 16, there's a day coming when God's going to judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Now, in the Bible, there are at least two judgments that are written about. One of them has to do with God judging the unsaved. The other one having to do with God judging the saved. The unsaved person's judgment is found in Revelation chapter 20 and verses 11 to 15. And I'd like to read through that with you just real quick. We won't spend a whole lot of time here on either one of these, but I want you to know and be reminded where they are. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, and it says this, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, plural, the books, were opened, and another book, singular, was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, according to their works. You know, you get the idea here that God keeps accurate records of all that we have done. Judgment is according to man's deeds, not man's status. All right? So judged according to those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Please notice verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Everyone who's at this judgment, everyone who's at this judgment is not named in the Lamb's Book of Life. These are the unsaved. These are the people that don't know Jesus as their personal Savior. And you notice here in verse number 12, it mentioned books, plural, and then another book, singular. The singular book is the Lamb's Book of Life. The other books, plural, that's the record of that man's or woman's life. Okay? So they're judged according to their deeds, what they've done, not their status in life. This is the unsaved person's judgment. You will not be there.
Amen.
If you know Jesus as your Savior, you will not be there. Hallelujah for that. The other judgment that I wanted to call your attention to is in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And it's interesting to me that it's the same verses 11 to 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. Same verses. This passage says this. This is the judgment for the saved people. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. I don't know if you see this or not, but I see two different qualities of works. One is gold, silver, and precious stones. The other is wood, hay, and stubble. One of those going through the fire is going to be purified. That's the gold, silver, and precious stones. The other is going to be consumed. That's the wood, hay, and stubble. So now, if any man build upon this foundation, the foundation, of course, is Jesus Christ, which refers to salvation. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Judgment day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. There's your gold, silver, precious stones. If any man's work shall be burned, there's your wood, hay, and stubble, he shall suffer loss. Loss of reward, by the way. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So here's the judgment for the saved individuals. All right? And you notice here that you have to have the foundation first, which is Jesus Christ. That comes when you get saved. And upon that foundation, you're building a building. You're building a building, either with gold, silver, and precious stones, or with wood, hay, and stubble. Now, gold, silver, and precious stones, basically what that is you and I doing what God has asked us to do. Wood, hay, and stubble, those are things that God did not ask us to do. Maybe we wanted to do it. Maybe it's something that we felt that we should do, or we wanted to do, or we wanted to perform some kind of works. All right? So the only ones that get rewarded are the gold, silver, and precious stones. That's what the Lord wanted you to do. And if you do that, you're going to gain reward. If you are doing things that you want to do, not what God wants, that's the wood, hay, and stubble, that all gets burned up. And you're going to suffer loss of reward for those things that you did that God didn't ask you to do. All right? So that's the two different judgments, and it's according to man's deeds. Did you catch that in both passages? How many times it mentioned the works that you do? Okay, we talked about this before, and I got to be careful. I want to finish the chapter if I can tonight. But if it's all about the works, then what's the difference between the unsaved works and the saved works? Well, the unsaved works are the things that he does. You know, basically the unsaved man lives by the philosophy, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You know, and if it feels good, do it. That's the unsaved man. That's basically his works. The saved man's works, on the other hand, are being done because the Lord is leading and directing in his or her life. See? They're trying their best to follow the Lord's lead and God's direction and so forth. And so we've said this before, we don't work because we want to get saved. We work for the Lord because we are saved. There's a big difference. People that are trusting in their own works to get them to heaven are going to be greatly disappointed because they're not going to make it. We get to heaven because Jesus saves us, period. The reason we work is because there's a promise of reward and we want to obey our Lord and do what he's asking us to do. So again, judgment. First of all, it's according to God's truth, not man's opinion. Secondly, it's according to man's deeds, not his status. And the third thing that's mentioned in this chapter is verses 17 to 29. Judgment is according to the gospel of Christ, not man's religion. Notice, if you would, verse 17. Behold, now keep in mind, he's writing to Jewish individuals here. But as we go through this, I'm going to make some application to us as Christians. And so I hope you'll hear it in the heart and allow God to speak to you about this. But please notice, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Let's stop just for a minute and just think about verses 17 to 20 as a Christian. Behold, thou art called a Christian, and restest in, let's say, the word of God, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the Bible, are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. I don't know if you've ever read it that way before, but I've read it that way, and nearly every time I read this passage right here, I think about that. As a Christian. Look at verse 21. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Again, he's writing to Jews, but I'm trying to make application here to you and I as believers. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? Now again, let's pause just for a minute. And he's writing to Jewish people, and he wants them to consider, you know, because many of the Jewish people were very proud of the fact that they were God's people. They had the law, they had the sacrifices, the Orthodox Jew especially, very careful to observe, even down to the, remember the Pharisees? I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not as other men are. I tithe, you know, and do this and this and this, fast twice in the week, all these different things. They're so careful. Jesus scolded them about this, even tithing into their spice rack. So very proud of the fact that they were Jewish and what they had and the law and were God's people and all that kind of stuff. But make the application, won't you please, to you and I as believers. Thou therefore which teachest another, verse 21, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, or like for you and me, the Bible, through breaking the Bible or the law, or the words of God, dishonorest thou God? Pretty convicting, huh? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. Now, if I'm going to make an application there to New Testament Christians, I might say it this way. For being born again or being saved or following the Lord in believers' baptism, you know, verily profiteth if thou keep the law, if you do what the Bible says. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. It's like this. We've talked about this before. You know, if I say I'm a Christian, that's wonderful, but does my life back that up? You know, that's kind of the message here, isn't it, with Paul writing this letter here in the second chapter of Romans. You say you're a Jew, and you say you have the law, and you say you know God, and you say that you're God's people, and you say all these wonderful things, and that is wonderful that you say those things, but are you actually being a bad testimony for your God by not keeping the law? You say, the Jewish people, verse 25, you say you have circumcision, and yes, that's profitable to you as a Jew if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. So by way of application for you and me, you're a New Testament Christian and you say you're saved and you love the Lord and you go to church and you do this and you say you do that and so forth and so forth. But if you break what the Bible says, if you're not following through with what Scripture teaches, then your decision, your testimony, your boasting of being born again is really made, you know, it's really made for nothing because you're violating what the Bible says. Verse 26, therefore, if the uncircumcision, again, for you and me, it'd be like the unsaved. For therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee? The unsaved Gentiles, or the Gentiles who don't have the law, if I make it for the Jewish people, the Gentiles who don't have the law, if they fulfill the law, won't they judge you? The Jewish person who has the law, who by letter and circumcision does transgress the law? What I'm trying to get you to see here, if I can, and maybe I'm not doing a good job at it, but to say we're saved is one thing, to live it out is far better. And again, isn't that the message of the book of James? Prove it. Prove it. Wonderful to talk about it. How about proving it? See, your life and my life, and maybe I should just speak for me, I want my life, hopefully, to prove it. I want people to see it in me. Not just hear me talk about it, and I should talk about it, but I want people to see it in me. I want people to know as they watch my life, you know what? There's something different about that guy. I don't know exactly what it is, but it seems to me he loves God. It seems to me he knows God. It seems to me that that guy walks with God. So when I have a need, guess who I'm going to go to? I'm going to go to that guy. Or that gal, if it's a lady. Because there's something different about that person. See? And the message here is, of course, to the Jewish people, it's very clear. But by way of application, isn't God speaking to us also as New Testament believers? Let's make sure that we live what we say we have. So that people see that, and hopefully they'll be drawn to the God that we say that we love. Look at verse 27 and 28. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? And I'm going to stop here again, and I apologize for that. But have you ever... I'm getting kind of personal here, okay? And don't take offense when I mention this. Just think about it. Have you ever thought to yourself about, I think it's okay to mention this, the dedicated people among the Jehovah's Witnesses, how it seems they're not afraid to go out and talk about their religion and what their practice and what they do. They're always out there, aren't they? Or the Mormons? And they're out there and I realize that, you know, like the Mormons, they're required to do a certain amount of service in that way. But still, they're out there and they're presenting their information and they're giving out information and they're really dedicated. How many of us are out there doing that? And that's my question. Have you ever been embarrassed personally within for your lack of dedication that way? You know, like these folks are not even saved. They're not even born again. They don't know the Lord as their Savior. But look at how dedicated they are to be out there doing that. I've not ever been inside a Jehovah's Witness building. But when you drive through a cities and you see their buildings, don't they look nice on the outside? Sure is quiet in here. The people gather together and they put up a building, you know, and it's always a nice looking building. And I, again, like the Mormon church here in Stoughton, I haven't been inside. I've driven by it, and I thought, boy, that'd make a nice Baptist church. It's a beautiful building on the outside. Again, I haven't been inside, so I don't really know. But my point is, there are people out there, and some of them in even, how do I say it, worse false religions than Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, who are very dedicated in what they believe, and they're there, and they're out there pushing their, I'll just call it propaganda, but they're out there doing that, and they're much more dedicated a lot of times than we are as New Testament Christians. And as far as not only their service like that, but sometimes their giving and their dedication to their particular church that they're a part of. So, just like the Bible says here, and Paul's writing, again, to Romans, I understand that, and the Jewish people here that he's writing to, but he says that they're uncircumcised, you know, and they're fulfilling much of the law, some of these folks, and it's judging you, who by letter and circumcision does transgress the law. Verse 28, and again, make the application here as far as being a Christian. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. Verse 29 says, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. And again, I look at that and I think about, what does it mean to be a Christian? Does it mean, you know, they dress a certain way, or they got their hair cut a certain way, or they look a certain way, or whatever? And the message is, no, it's not what you see on the outside, it's what God sees on the inside. Because you remember this, again, in Matthew 23, you know the chapter, Jesus is scolding the Pharisees about the fact that they were whited sepulchres. And they were graves that were full of dead men's bones. So that whole chapter, he talks about the fact that they look great on the outside, but within, they're corrupt. And I don't know about you, but I read chapters like this and verses like this, and I think, Lord, help me to drill down on making sure that the inside is right. Because I believe this is true. If the inside is right, the outside will be right. Because isn't biblical Christianity, doesn't it start on the inside and work its way outward? It doesn't start from the outside, work its way inward. It starts on the inside and works its way outward. And so if I'm walking closely with the Lord and I really do know him like I say I do, and I really do spend time with him like, again, I say I do, and I'm really talking with him and he's talking with me and we're walking with each other and whatnot, and I really do know him intimately like I say I do, then that's going to be evident in how I live, in how I act and react, in how I behave myself. Am I right in that? Sure. And so, again, I'm reading this. When was this written? It's written a long time ago. But how can I use it today? See? How can I use it in my life today? And that's why I'm approaching these verses tonight the way I am. Because we all need to remember that people are watching our lives and they see how we live. And the inward man. Some of you were here when I came, and that's one of the things that I mentioned. I remember this when I first came. I want to try to emphasize the importance of the inside and getting the inside right, because if the inside gets right, the outside will be right. And I've tried to do that through the years, and I want that to be true not only for you, I want it to be true for me, and I want people to see Christ in us. So, again, I'm just thinking about the chapter here. God's principles of judgment are fair, verses 1 to 5. It's according to God's truth, not man's opinion. It's according to verses 6 to 16. It's according to man's deeds, not his status. And then thirdly, it's according to the gospel of Christ. Because again, that's what makes the change in us, isn't it? It's the gospel of Christ that makes the change in us. It's the gospel of Christ, not man's religion. The man's religion can only touch the outside. Man's religion will not do anything about the inside. Ah, but the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's a whole different matter. That affects the inside, which then eventually, of course, affects the outside. All right? So, I hope You can look through the notes that we have here for you later, but I hope this way of looking at this chapter has been helpful to you, and I know it is to me. These verses to me are very, very convicting when I think about what God is saying here to these folks. He's also saying to you and I as New Testament Christians today. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time, and thank you for the way that you work in our hearts and lives. I do want to thank you for the Bible. I appreciate so very much what the Bible says and why it says it, who it says it to, and all that. But as the people here hear me say a lot, Lord, and I know you hear me say it, Lord, I want us to know what it says for those people, but I also want us to be able to apply what it says to us today. How can I use this today in my life? And so, Lord, help us to examine ourselves. Is our faith a real, genuine, truly born-again experience? Is it something that's real and lasting and eternal? Or is it just something that's on the outside and we kind of play church and we just kind of play being saved and so forth? Is it something we just talk about? Or is it something that we really do? Is it something that people can see evidence in our life? I want it to be something that we do, something that's evidenced in our life, not only for me, but for the people that make up our church family. And so help us in this way, please. We want it to be genuine. We want it to be real. And Lord, I speak on behalf of all of us tonight. I love you. And I know these people love you also. Help us to demonstrate a genuine Christian faith in our life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.